For the next 2 weeks or so, I will be teaching a series of messages preparing us for the upcoming week of prayer and fasting, beginning on the 17th through the 23rd. And please, when I say prayer and fasting, do not go hide in a hole and bury yourself in a tunnel. We'll talk more about that next week, because when you hear prayer sometimes, or you hear fasting even more, no, not me. Well, next week I'll be talking more about that. But I want to go through a series of messages to prepare us for that week of prayer and fasting as God's people, as His church. So please pray with me. I am expecting God to do some breakthroughs, not only in my own life, but in our lives through that time of prayer and fasting. So start asking yourself, God, what do you want to do in my life during that time? But now, it's the new year, 2016. Woohoo! Right? Some are excited. Some, I'm going to go through some hard, you've been going through hardships. It's not very exciting for you. And sometimes when you hit a new year, because that last year wasn't the greatest, when we come to this new year, what do? New Year's resolution. Is there anyone here who does New Year's resolutions? Anybody? Okay. Well, there's not a lot of New Year's resolution people. Would you mind to share like one of your New Year's resolutions? Keep close to your family. Okay. That's a good New Year's resolution. Anybody else have a New Year's resolution this year? Something I'm going to change. Okay, Jonathan.
Eat more salads.
Eat more salads. Okay, thank you, Jonathan. More salads. I have pizza. I have salad. I would rather eat the pizza. Right? My wife goes, Rita, you have salad? And I see the pizza. Oh, I'm good. I'm happy with my pizza. Okay, salads. Why don't we set New Year's resolutions? Anybody? Why don't we? Huh? Well, this year, I'm going to exercise every week. Well, it might go good for the first 2 weeks, right? Yeah, I'm doing it. Woo-hoo! Then the third week, the fourth week, and ultimately we stop because we fail in that resolution. Or maybe you've had a resolution, okay, I'm going to lose weight, I'm going to exercise, I'm going to eat better, I'm going to stop one of my habits in my life of maybe smoking, or I'm drinking, or I'm, but I swear a lot, it just comes out. Yeah. Well, this year I'm going to do it, and then what happens? You do good for a while, and then you fail. Because you fail, when it comes to the New Year's resolutions, you're like, I'm not into it. I'm really not into it. It's just not worth setting them if I'm going to fail them, right? But this leads us to a question this morning. Is it important to set goals as a Christian? Is it important to set goals? And when I say goal, what do I mean? I came across one definition this week, and the definition is this, quote, the object of a person's ambition and effort, an aim or desired result, unquote. So are goals important as a Christian in your life? To reach for something, to aim for something. Or as a Christian, should we just live in the moment? You remember when you're younger, it's easier to live in the moment. I'll just do things when I feel like it. So should we just live aimlessly? No goals, no destinations, just wandering aimlessly, drifting on the current of life. To make a point, I have a few illustrations. How many of you guys love vacation? Raise your hand. Oh man, love vacation. How many of you have gone on a road trip or flew to some place that was out of the state of Kentucky? Raise your hand. For vacation. Okay. Has anyone here ever gone on a vacation with no destination? Okay, there are some exceptions. I remember my wife and I, mainly before we had kids, and I say afterwards, we would get in the car in Colorado, we'd load the kids up, or we'd just get in the car, and we would just drive up into the Rocky Mountains to explore. We really didn't know our destination, but it was fun. So there are some exceptions to the rule, but generally, when we go on a vacation or a road trip or we fly somewhere, we have a destination to go to. First, there's the destination, but then we set goals to reach that destination. If it's for a road trip, we fill up the gas tank, we plot our course on the map. Oh, I guess people don't use maps much anymore. Or you set your GPS instead, right? And you start planning, you pack your clothes up, this is what we need. You set a date to leave, we'll leave 6 a.m., Sunday morning, oh, not Sunday, we have to be at church. Okay, so Monday morning. We set the destination, we leave. You go, we'll drive, if it's 35 hours today, we'll drive 12 hours to this town, we'll get a hotel, we'll eat, and you plan your trip. You have a destination, and you have goals to get to that destination. But if you fly, then you have different goals. You have to get to the airport on time. You have to make sure your luggage isn't what? More than 50 pounds, or you pay more for it. Now you still have to pay for it now, right? In my day, you didn't have to pay for luggage, but now you do. And so if it's over 50 pounds, which my wife has a very hard time doing, we'll weigh it and go, oops, and we take things out, put them in the other bag, right? But you have different goals to reach a destination. That's right, or five or six, if you want to pay for it, that's right. But we also need to realize when we have a destination and we have goals to get to this destination, that there's things that prevent us getting there. There may be an accident, a flat tire. There could be bad weather. That reminds me, before we came here, my wife and I, we went to visit Josh and Jen in Lexington, Kentucky. And it was January. And we were excited, but it was a short weekend. They were just visiting. We wanted to come see them. And so I think we left on Thursday or Friday, and we were going to come back on Sunday. A quick weekend trip. We got on the airplane, and it took us over 24 hours to get to Lexington, Kentucky from Denver, Colorado. There was bad weather. We'd go up to canceled flights. We'd get in line, two-hour line. We'd get up to the front. Okay, yeah, you'll catch this plane. We wait for that plane. It never shows up, and it went on and on. And I remember being so frustrated that we were in Philadelphia, I think. I told my wife, love, if this happens again, I say we don't continue the trip to our destination. Why don't we just go get a hotel in Philadelphia, you and I have a good time, get the next plane, and go home. I was sick and tired. It was difficult to get to the destination. And we did get there after over 24 hours. Our luggage was lost. So there are things that hold us from getting to our destination. But we just couldn't get there. A second illustration. A runner in a race, right? His destination is a finish line. He wants to get to that finish line. And even before he runs the race, he sets goals to get to that destination. He stretches. He runs, he should eat better, he goes to sleep early and gets more rest so he's ready for the race. So he sets all these goals to get to the destination of the finish line, to prepare for the race. And his main goal is what for a runner?
Get to the finish line.
Yes, but to be first to the finish line, right? But he won't get there if he doesn't do these certain things, right? If he doesn't exercise and train and all that. But even if he works really hard, he may sprain his ankle during training. He may run and fall into a ditch or do something, and then that almost seems like he can't run the race. He can't get to the finish line. So there's the runner in a race. There's the vacation destination of going on a vacation or on a flight to somewhere. Now let's take that into the spiritual. In the same way as Christians, goals are important, our destination is important. But we also must be aware that there's things in our life that want to hold us back from getting to our destination, from getting to the finish line in our lives. But first, what goals should we set as Christians? What is our destination? What is the finish line? Well, let's learn. If you have your Bibles, open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3 as you learn from the life of Apostle Paul. As we learn from the life of Apostle Paul. Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Philippians 3, beginning in verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but to you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and we have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also have confidence in the flesh, I might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks that he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. And so we have the Apostle Paul here, talking about having no confidence in himself. But if he was to have confidence in himself, he had some things that he was very proud about in his life. Things that he could kind of thinking, he could look at and go, hey, I'm there. I mean, Paul was, in his culture and in his time, he was a Jew. He probably knew how to speak. He probably spoke Hebrew, Greek, and different languages. He was from the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He was a zealous, well-educated religious Pharisee. He thought he was the man. He thought he got there. You ever meet people like that? Man, I make good money. I have a car. I have a family. I have a model wife. I have this or I have that. And they begin to have confidence that they have it made. That was Paul. In the same way, he had confidence in who he was. He was proud and arrogant of who he was until he encountered Christ, and Christ revolutionized his life. Listen to the change beginning in verse 7 of Philippians 3. Listen to the change. But what things were gained to me, these I've counted loss for Christ. Yet, indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, and will be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ Jesus, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. Not that I've already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching towards to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Do you see a change in Paul? A man who thought he had it, who was captured by the love of God, and his life was transformed. His goals were changed. Those things that he thought that got him in were no longer important to him. A man who considered all the trophies of his heritage and past as rubbish compared to knowing Christ. A man whose new goals was to know Christ and to know the power of his resurrection in his own life, to experience his resurrection power in his daily life. A man who is willing to suffer for Christ. A man who is willing to do anything to reach his destination. Listen to what Paul says again in this passage in Philippians 3, verse 13 and 14. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, and I strain forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. A man with new goals, a man with a new destination. First, what were his goals? It was to know Christ and to experience his resurrection power in his life. Is that your goal in 2016? To know Christ, to experience his resurrection power in your life. What was his destination? It was heaven. Heaven is not only a place, but heaven is where a person is, and that's Jesus Christ. That was his ultimate destination, was to get to the place where it was Paul. I mean, remember what Paul said in Philippians 1:21? For to live is Christ, to die is gain. Right? His destination was to be in the presence of his Lord and Savior. That's heaven. Heaven without God is not heaven. Heaven with Jesus is everything. That was his final destination. For it was Paul, listen to this, as he discovered Christ more. He said this when he discovered his love. Romans 8, 38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, my Lord. He encountered God's passion. It changed his life. Today, are you experiencing the resurrection life of Jesus Christ? Do you need, where things seem to be dead, do you need life? Because he could give you life. Is that your resolutions for 2016? Lord, I want to know you. I want resurrection where there are things dead in my life and I can't get free. For whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Is free indeed. But there's a question, or there's a thing that we face. Okay, Reed, I do want that. I want to know Christ. I want to experience his resurrection power, but I desire that. But you know what? It's out of reach. When I'm stuck in the mud and mire of life, I can't get out. I'm in the quicksand. I'm in depression. I'm in guilt. I struggle with things in my past. I can't break free. I struggle with addiction. I struggle with shame. I don't want anyone to know. I can't get out of this cycle, this circle of defeat over and over in my life. And Reed, if I look at Paul, that's Paul. He's almost, in my mind, kind of like God. He's far away, and then there's puny me. I'm from Kentucky, from Valley Station, and I can't get out of this cycle of defeat in my life. I'm bound by sin. I need help. So when I look at Paul, many of us, it's like it's so far out of reach, but we forget about Paul. He was just like us in many ways. He was a man bound by sin. He was caught up in the religious system of works, of trying to earn God's favor. A man who made many mistakes, even as he would probably consider one of his worst mistakes was that he persecuted God's people. That he tried to take them and throw them in prison. And did you know that Paul was the one who was consenting to the first death of the first Christian martyr, Stephen, in Acts? That he was there consenting to the stoning of Stephen to be put to death. He's like, go for it. Do it. Get rid of this Stephen. And then something changed, right? As he was going to Damascus to take Christians into prison in his self-righteousness and arrogance, as he's on the road, a light shined down from heaven, and he encountered the living Christ, and that changed his life. You know what? In our own unique way, God wants to change us. He wants us to experience our own Damascus Road. I've never seen an angel. I've never seen a light from heaven. But God encountered me when I was younger. Have I got there? Nope. Did I fall? Yep. But I keep getting up and I keep running to know Christ and to experience his resurrection. I want you to know this morning that he wants, that God wants us to have the same goals as Paul. That Jesus this morning is saying to you, I want you to know me. I want you to experience my resurrection in the lowliest, in the weird places you don't think I know about. I want you to know I want to be part of your life. I want you to experience it in the place where you're at when you're struggling, in shame, in embarrassment, in guilt, in depression. He wants to be with you in that time. And I also want you to know this morning, with God, all things are possible. If you are feeling hopeless and defeated, he wants you to come as you are. What's awesome with God is you don't have to fix yourself before you come to him. Sometimes that's in the church. It's really, you see it in the institutional church where, oh, you have to be a certain way before you walk through that door. With God, and it should be with God's people, his true church, you should be able to come in as you are, in your ugliness, in your shame, knowing that he loves you as you are, and he has the ability to transform your life. You can't do it. He wants to give you victory. He wants to show you the depths of his love. He wants to set you free from those things that hold you from your destination, hold you from pursuing Christ. He wants you to overcome the roadblocks that are holding you back from your final destination. This morning, what is holding you back? What's binding you? What's consuming your thoughts? What is your fear this morning? Christ wants to set you free. So I want you to take a moment. What is it between you and God right now? No one else. I can't look in your mind, thank goodness. You and God. What's some area of your life that you need to overcome? Something you've tried over and over and just can't get free. You keep falling back into the pit of just defeat and fear. What is it? Bo, would you hand these out? I want everyone to take one of these. Just pass that around. This is a nail. What? What is your nail? The thing that pierces, the thing that holds you from pursuing God. What is your nail? I want you to think about that this week. This is yours. Take it home. If you remember, bring it next week. I'll have some more next week if you don't. But this week, I want you to ask God first. Maybe you already know. But I want you to wrestle with it this week. What is your nail? The one thing, and I know you guys, I don't have enough. I mean, all of us could probably take handfuls of nails, right? What's the one thing? I want you to pick one. One thing that you're like, God, it pierces, it binds me, it holds me. I need you to set me free. What is your nail? As some of you guys know, as I close, that in a couple weeks, we are having our week of prayer and fasting, which I'll be talking about prayer and fasting next week, January 17th through the 23rd. Every night, we will be meeting for prayer from 6 to 7 o'clock. And during this time, we will be spending time praying to God, to encounter God, asking God to take this area of our life and to give us victory. To give us victory. We all have areas. I'm not up here with no nails because if I said I had no nail, my wife would probably throw a nail at me. Right? But because the prayer meeting, this fasting, is not for the spiritual high person. It is for the weak and hurting. It is for the hopeless. It's for those who come expectantly with a goal to encounter God, to be set free. Will you come to be set free? Will you come to encounter the power of the living God? If you have the worship team come forward. Will you come and encounter the love of Christ? So what is your nail? And this week, you remember to bring it. But what is your nail that you want to bring before God and be set free for in your life? What is your nail? And I'm going to pray briefly, and I'm going to have my brother Jeff come forward, and he's going to do our communion with us. But you guys, as I pray, let me just pray about your nail, my nail, this week. That God would set us free. Let's pray. Lord, I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray right now, Lord, that this week you would wake us up, you would stir things in our life, that you would bring the nail that you want to deal with, that you want to set us free from. I pray this week that you would show each of us what nail we need to come to you with. And so I pray, Father, in Jesus' name that you come, that your Spirit would work, and that you touch our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Jeff will come up here.
Good morning, everyone. Can we have the ushers come forward and begin to pass out the elements? Thank you. Many years ago, I was doing mission work in the Philippines. And you guys, if you've ever been in the Philippines, particularly Manila, where over 10 million people live, in the very busy city center, there's what is called jeepneys. Now, any of us drive a Jeep Wrangler, any Jeep, anybody here? I have a four-door Jeep Wrangler, which I love. But jeepneys were in World War II, and they're extended jeeps that in downtown Manila, you could fit about 15 to 20 people packed in these jeeps. And I was there for about a month of mission work. And I had a friend of mine named Paulo that was a Samoan from the Samoan Islands. And we were walking with our evangelism team downtown. I was going to step across the street. How many of you have ever been in a very busy city center like Manhattan? We're in Louisville last night. But how many of you have been downtown where it's been really crazy, busy, crazy traffic? Anybody? Well, imagine there being no traffic lights or signs. Yes, crap. Whoops. In Manila, in this part, you guys, there's no dividers downtown. So all the Jeeps and cars go around each other. There's not a whole bunch going one direction and a whole bunch going the other and dividers. Remove those dividers and you have downtown Manila. I was stepping across the curb one day, not looking where I was going because there was so much traffic. My friend Paulo from Samoa was right next to me. And as I stepped across the curb, a big Jeep turned his corner and was ready to hit me because I was turning left or I was turning right, when suddenly Paulo, my friend, saw that I was ready to be hit, so he threw his body between me and the Jeep. It hit Paulo so hard, his body was flown up into the air into a crowd of people across the street. His shirt was ripped open, and there was gashes across his chest. I ran to see if he was okay. And in broken English, he was such a loving man, he simply, a young man at that time, he looked at me and he says, "Jeff, are you okay?" And I go, "I'm okay. I'm not the one who was hit. Are you okay?" He was holding the gash across his chest that was bleeding so no more blood would come out. And he goes, "Oh, I'm okay, Jeff. Just hit by a little Jeep on the road." We took him in. He got stitches across his chest, had a huge gash on the center chest. And I remember for the next couple days, Paulo had to walk, not with his shoulders back, with a good posture, or it would break the stitches up and he would bleed. He had to walk with his shoulders doubled over. Every time he walked into the room, the next couple weeks, I was reminded of his love for me. I should have been the one hit by the jeepney. I was a careless person stepping off the street curb, not looking where I was going. But Paulo loved me more than he loved himself. He took the pain for the mistake that I had made. Are you with me, everybody? And when I would watch him walk into a room, I would be moved by his friendship, love for me. At the end of our mission, I was very sad to say goodbye to him because of his great love for people, not only for me. I didn't see him for a couple years later till the 25th YWAM Youth of the Mission anniversary in Hawaii. I was listening to a speaker, and during break, I heard this, "Hey, Jeff." I turned around, it's Paulo. "Hey, it's me, Paulo." And I immediately left, and he just grabbed me, and he says, "Jeff, like old times, let's go down to the beach and body surf together." Because I did my mission training in Maui, Hawaii. It was a real hard place, suffering for the Lord in Hawaii. I'm alive to tell you that it was a pretty good life. And I said, "I'd love to body surf with you again, Paulo. Let's go down to the beach." So we went down to the beach. We took off our shirts, and we had our boarder shorts on, and was ready to dive in when I glanced at Paulo as he was removing his shirt. And my eyes fell upon the scars on his chest. Mm-hmm. And suddenly his act of love for me a couple years before, when he jumped between me and the Jeep, I became alive and aware of his friendship, love for me. And in that moment, Jesus whispered to me, "How long, my son, since you've looked at my scars? How long, my son, since you've been reminded of my great act of love for you?" When we take communion, we gaze upon the scars of our Jesus again. Amen, everyone? Amen. And what he did 2,000 years ago, a past reality becomes a current present reality. And as Reed shared, all the power of what he has done in his death becomes ours in our life. And the former things are put away. Mm-hmm. Any of us have former things we want to have put away? Mm-hmm. It could be the nail, or it could be other things that the Spirit has brought to your mind. But Jesus wants us to look at his scars this morning. He wants present risenness. Not someone who just died 2,000 years ago, but one who's alive within our hearts today. So I'm going to say a prayer over the elements, and let's have a moment of gazing, right? Where we look and remember. So it's not an archaic thing from the past, but a present risenness today. Father, we hold in our hands a wafer, and we hold in our hands juice. We're just going to concentrate on the wafer this morning. That's symbolic of your broken body, your scars. And we're going to gaze and look. And we're going to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you jumped between us and the punishment of our sin, and you took the blame for our careless mistakes. So this morning, we don't want to carry the shame from 2015 into the glorious resurrection life of 2016. We want to let it go and say with you, it is finished. So bless the elements that we hold, the wine and the wafer and the bread. And as we put the wafer into our mouth and chew, we listen to the music, we contemplate your scars, and we whisper in our heart of hearts, thank you for loving us that much. In Jesus' name, bless this wafer. We'll hold for a moment on the water, on the juice. Bless this wafer, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go ahead and take eat. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. And he said, take, eat, this is my body broken for you. And every time you take of it, remember me. We pause and we remember. We're holding also juice, symbolic of the blood of Jesus. It says in 1 John 1:7, walk in the light as he is in the light, and you will have true friendship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, Christ his Son, will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We come here at the beginning of 2016, each and every one of us needing to be cleansed. Cleansed of our brokenness, our guilt and shame, and saying, Jesus, what you did for us on the cross is enough. I remember the old hymn, upon the cross of Jesus, mine eye at times can see the very dying form of one who suffered there for me. And from my smitten heart with tears, two wonders I confess, the wonders of his glorious love in my unworthiness. I take, O cross, thy shadow for thy abiding place. I ask for no other sunshine but the sunshine of your face. Content to let the world go by, to know nor shame for what you've done for us, Jesus, is enough. And we take and we drink what we have here in these little cups, and accept the cleansing. But as I just said, the Bible verse, walk in the light as he is in the light. The blood of Jesus can only cover what we uncover. Amen? So let's take a moment at the beginning of 2016, as Reed said, let's put a former thing behind. How many of us want to do that? Let's walk in the light together. It also says in 1 John 1:9, confess your sins to one another so you may be made whole. As Reed has been emphasizing, we are family. We are the body of Christ. So before we drink this morning in remembering his blood for cleansing, let's just turn to a person next to us and say one former thing, be it worry, be it fear, be it guilt, be it pride, what former thing do we want his blood to cleanse? So as we step into this year together and follow, read throughout the series of understanding the nail and what to do with the nail in light of the nails that held Jesus to the cross, we can be cleansed. So before we drink, turn to one person and just say one word. If it's fear is a former thing, if it's pride, if it's addiction, if it's depression, let's just say, do what the verse says, walk in the light as he is in the light. The promise is for true friendship and for cleansing. So turn to one person aside and let's just say a word of confession, a word of leaving something behind. So if we listen to the music, let's pause and do that. Turn to one person beside you and say a word of a former thing you want to leave behind. Go ahead, body of Christ. All right, and before we drink, I feel there's just something more we're spiritually to see. So we'll pause with the music for a moment and let's watch a quick illustration.